We're going through our series on Kingdom Sight. I was telling someone this week, I feel like I always get the most whenever we go through these things because you're just getting into it so much. One of the things that dawned on me this week was, you know, we're talking about God's kingdom. And as much as I've studied that and considered that in the past, it never dawned on me until this week that it's His kingdom. I don't know, that sounds ridiculous, but it's really His kingdom, and it's Him being the king of His kingdom, and we entered that kingdom. And I want to say this because this is the startling part to me. It's not that we invited Him into our kingdom. You see the difference? Because if you invite Him into your kingdom, you get to tell Him what to do. And we don't have a life like that as Christians. We have a life that is just submitting and obedient to our God. Well, anyway, that was my great revelation this week. I thought it was awesome. Thought I would share it with you. You're welcome. Today we're going to talk about actions speak louder than words. Anybody agree?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And a lot of people don't quite know what that means. Okay. Actions speak louder than words. So here's what I'm going to do. We are going to get to our parable in a second. But let me just kind of give you a little bit of an intro, and I'll give you some context for this parable. It's important. How many of you are Blue Jays fans? Because everybody wants to be a Blue Jays fan now, right? If I would have asked you a year ago, it'd be like, not a chance. Okay, well, let me do a little comparison for you. Because I've been a Blue Jays fan a long time. I know Pierre's back there. He's a solid Blue Jays fan. We go to many games together. Last year, 2014, the Toronto Blue Jays were letting us know, we have the money to spend. We have the money to spend, and if we find the right players, we're going to spend the money. Rogers is not withholding money. Trade deadline came, time for them to add players. What did they do? Nothing. They did nothing. The players were unhappy. They started to say all kinds of things. Some of their all-star players are complaining against the management. And the fans just kind of stopped going. Well, let's fast forward to 2015. And the same words were spoken this year. We've got the money. We've got the money, and if we have the opportunity, we're going to spend it. And the trade deadline came. And they did something.
Wow.
They really did something. So they picked up a couple of players. I'll show you who they are. That's Troy Tulowitzki on the left. And then there's David Price in the middle. These are big-time players. Big players. You realize, since Troy Tulowitzki has been on Blue Jays, the Blue Jays have sold, now listen, 440,000 tickets. That's amazing. That's a lot of tickets. And the fans are like, I was there a little while ago. You can't find a seat anymore. Wow. Used to be Pierre and I would go. We would sit in this section all by ourselves. We would have our feet up. Now we got people around us. Actions speak louder than words. You know, the general manager can tell us all he wants. We've got the money. But unless we see action, we're not convinced. What you do is more important than what you say you will do. Just think about in your daily life. Do you say you will do things around the house? I just happened to find a picture of a man doing some chores. That could have been a child, you know, like doing their chores or whatever. But look, it's so easy for us to say we're going to do things and we just don't do it, whether it comes to our housework or other areas in our lives. Actions speak louder than words. Let me bring you up to speed. We're gonna land on that thought a little while when we hit the parable. But I just want to bring you up to speed in terms of the context of this parable. We're talking about the parable of the two sons this morning. Some of you may be familiar with it. We'll get to it in a sec. This is the final week of Jesus' life here on this earth. He makes this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and you've got people waving palm branches and putting their cloaks at his feet, and he's riding in on a donkey. And they're crying out, Hosanna! Hosanna! To the Son of David. Well, you know what that means. That means, save us! Save us! Messiah, Son of David, is pointing to the Messiah. Well, while the crowds were really excited, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders of the day, they were not. And in fact, they took him aside and they said, don't you hear what these people are saying to you? And you have to start to wonder, what is it about these men that they were so worried about this preacher from little old Nazareth? I wonder if it was their position that they were concerned about. I wonder if it's their power and their status and the wealth that came along with where they were. And this nobody who's been healing all kinds of people for about 3 or some years now and speaking all kinds of things, and he's like turning water into wine, this man is about to upset everything that we've been fighting for. And they really and truly do not like him. If you were Jesus, how would you treat those people? I just know the way I would treat them if it was me, and I'm so glad that it wasn't me. Jesus is so gracious and so merciful to these men. He doesn't just condemn them and leave them to rot where they are. You'll see today, he is fighting for them. He's fighting for them because he wants them to experience something they have not yet experienced. So let's they're challenging Jesus' authority. So he tells them this parable. So now you've got your context. Here's the parable. What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and he said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he said, I will not. But afterward he changed his mind and went. And the father went to the other son and said the same. And he said, I go, sir, but did not go. Two sons. Which of the two did the will of his father? The Jewish leaders responded, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe in him. We've got one son who says, I'm not going. And later on, changes his mind and says, I am going. You have another son who says, I'm going, changes his mind, and doesn't go. And Jesus asks them, which son did the will of the Father? And they get it right. They're not stupid. They know the one who did the will of the Father. Even though at the very beginning there was some disobedience, still that son took care of what was on the Father's heart. Let me show you a quote from a person named Snodgrass. I like this quote, and I'm going to use it a few times during this message. It says this, initial responses are not ultimate responses. An initial refusal does not have to stay a refusal. Amen?
Amen.
That's helpful, isn't it? Because if you're held to what you initially said, sometimes you're in trouble. Initial responses are not ultimate responses. An initial refusal does not have to stay a refusal. What is really going on with these men? John the Baptist has come, and he has told them over and over again, you need to repent. This was early on, 3 years earlier. They went out to see what was going on with John the Baptist, and they did not repent. Everybody else repented. And that is why, Iman, if you could go back to those last set of verses for me, that is why Jesus is bringing up the fact that John came to you in the way of righteousness and you did not believe. Right. Oh, I know you saw the tax collectors and you saw the prostitutes, you saw them going, and you probably figured in your heart, well, they should be going. And how is it that Jesus is saying to them, do you realize because of their obedience, they're going into the kingdom of God before you? They're going into the kingdom. Now, I don't know what that did to the Jewish leaders of that time, but they were probably thinking, I don't think so. Look at us. Look at who we are. Look at our status. Look at our power. Look at the influence that we have. We are definitely in the kingdom of God. We're going in way before those sinners and tax collectors, prostitutes, and whatever. And Jesus is trying to help these men to see it's not the way you think it is. It's not the way you think it is. And so many times, I feel like we are feeling like we're okay. And because we feel like we're okay, we're not paying attention to what Jesus is saying. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, be a doer of the word. Don't just hear the word. Be a doer of God's word. It's the actions that God is looking for. Why is God upset with those Jewish leaders? Because they're not responding the way they should be responding. What are they doing? They're just saying, oh, that's okay, we're okay. Kind of ignoring it, kind of just brushing it off like it's nothing. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. Are they? And I'm going to ask you a question now. Have you obeyed? Have you obeyed? We've heard from John the Baptist that he said repent. Jesus later on, of course, is saying exactly the same thing. Repent. Repent of the way that you're going. Repent of the things that you're thinking. Repent of the things that you're doing that are just against God. I don't know how you're life has gone, but I know the way my experience went with God chasing me before I finally got saved. And there were a number of times that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was on my heart. He was just like, he would not let me go. And I had experiences where God was saying, Ian, will you respond? And I kept telling myself, one, I think I'm okay. Two, I'm not sure. Three, I'm a little bit nervous because you're asking me to commit my entire life to you. Jesus is asking us to repent. Repent of our past. Repent of the way that we are living. And you've got Jewish leaders here who are thinking that they are okay. And they're not okay. And this is why I mentioned earlier, Jesus knows these men are not okay. He knows the reality. He knows, he can see right into them. You are so broken. But you keep telling yourself, I'm okay. And I just wonder this morning, are there people here? They know I'm not okay. And yet you keep telling yourself and you're telling others, I'm okay, but down deep inside, you know, and you've been coming to church for a while, or maybe this is your first time this morning to be here, but there's, to me, I just feel like this may be your opportunity. Maybe in the past you've said, oh, you know, I have no use for God. I was like that. I grew up in a non-Christian home. I used to make fun of Christians. It was kind of like my hobby. We had a man in our city when I was a teenager. He loved Jesus. He had some mental issues that he was dealing with, but he loved Jesus, and he would walk around our city and he would tell everybody about Jesus, and I would tell everybody how crazy he was. But I just knew on the inside, as much as I was saying those things, I was broken and I needed help. And I'm so glad that my initial response, I wasn't held to my initial response. Amen?
Amen.
Because if I had been held to my initial response, I would have been in trouble. And I just wonder about you. Have you kind of refused Jesus? You may have. And this morning, maybe your heart is just like, ugh, I don't like what that man is saying. And I've been where you're sitting, and I didn't like what that person was saying to me either. But I couldn't deny that there was something inside of me that was saying, oh, I wish I had what he was talking about. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are the first son. And while at the very beginning they said no, eventually they said, yeah, I'll take that. I feel like we live in an age that is, everything's just fine. Everybody's just okay. And everything is just allowed. And I wonder, is everybody really okay? And you know, if you ask a person who feels that way, what if you met God? And they would probably say something like, oh, no, God would be good with me. Yeah, no, I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I mean, I used to tell my mom this all the time, and she really was a good person. I used to tell her, Mom, what's going to happen to you? You know, one day you're going to have to meet God. And she said, no problem. I never murdered anybody. Okay, well, the vast majority of people on the earth have never murdered anybody, but that's not the standard by which we say, I'm okay with God. And I would say, Mom, have you lied? Well, Ian, everybody lies. But I'm still okay with God. This is the way we justify ourselves and our whole society today. I'm okay. And I just wondered this morning, are there any here who would just say, you know what? I'm not okay. I'd like to admit I'm not okay. I'd like to put myself with those tax collectors and prostitutes. It doesn't mean that you're doing the same things as them, but categorically, you're there with them because I was there. Would you pray with me this morning? Would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, I hear your word this morning. And I'm broken inside. And even though I have refused you, right now I want to receive you. I want you to be my Savior. I want my chains to be gone. I want to live the life that you want me to live. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I really want to talk to you afterwards just to help you a little bit more. But you know, it's not just about have you obeyed. I want to talk about us continue obeying. Here's the rest of the quote from this man named Snodgrass. Look at the first part. Initial responses are not ultimate responses. An initial refusal does not have to stay a refusal. And an initial agreement isn't enough. It's not enough. It must be lived. Actions speak louder than words. Don't just keep giving us your words and saying, oh yeah, Ian, I'm totally on board. I'm with you. What about your continued obedience? Because, you know, you might be the person who is like the Jewish leaders who says, yeah, no, count me in. And then we don't see you. But aren't you glad initial responses are not ultimate responses? You don't have to stay that way. And an initial refusal doesn't have to stay a refusal. So let me talk to you a little bit about something that we've been going through here. Some of you, the majority of you, are familiar with our 2020, a Vision 2020 that we crafted a little while ago. And there's 16 points in there about, you know, the direction we want to see our church go in. And we gave out these response cards. And so far, we've had a really good response. But we haven't had everybody's response. So maybe you would say, I just didn't get a card because I wasn't here. No problem. We got lots of cards for you. So take the time this morning. Fill this out. If you feel like this is your church and you're all in with us, then why would you not want to go that next step and serve alongside us? Is there anybody here, other than first-time guests, who has not received one of those cards? I really am asking for your hands. Okay. Make sure that we'll get you one, right? We'll definitely get you one. Some of you have filled out this card, and you've turned it in, and you haven't responded yet. You haven't done anything yet. Come on! You don't want to be like the Jewish leaders. Why? Be a person of your word. Don't just be a person who says, oh, yeah, I'm all in, and then we don't see you. Of course, I realize some of these things, they're rolling out at different times, so relax. You know, if you haven't heard from anybody, I would be going to the org chart, which is right in the middle, and I'd be saying, okay, who's the head of this thing? Bob Duncan, how come you haven't called me? Or Ian Brinksman, too. I shouldn't have said Bob Duncan, because probably Bob Duncan has called you. I haven't. Let me give you a little bit of a glimpse into what we are seeing, because some of those 16 points that we talked about, they're starting to happen. The things that you wanted to see in your church, they're happening. You asked that prayer would be an important part of our church, and we totally agreed. And I'm so thankful that we have Pat, who is picked up this burden, and he's like, yeah, we're going to have a class on prayer. And that class is not a class to just teach you how to pray. That class is a class that eventually, when it's over, we hope to have a team together. Am I right, Pat?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just, oh, let's learn more about prayer. We want to be people of words and actions. So we want a team together who can, maybe they're going to be the ones who are going to pray together. They're the ones who are going to let us know what needs to be prayed for. Maybe they're the ones who are going to go and visit people who need some prayer. I'm sure if you talk to Patty, he could tell you a whole lot more. In other words, things are moving in that direction. We're starting to see things that we vision together in reality. You asked also that the gospel and salvation would be something that would be important to you. And we are doing our very, very best every single week to talk about the gospel, to preach the gospel, to invite people to be saved. Were you here last week? 3 people got baptized. Amen. It wasn't Art. Sorry, Art, I didn't check with you whether I could use your picture, but that was from a little while ago.
Right.
Bab- baptism should be normal among us. And then you would say, but Ian, I haven't been baptized. And I would ask you, why not? Be obedient. If you've believed, you should be baptized. We don't want to just be people of words. We want to be people of actions as well. Another group that got together recently is the New Connections group, which is wonderful. Making connections with people and new people, making sure that they get connected to small groups and all that. That is a big part of what we're doing here. Another group that got together was the tech group. Now, most of us probably, okay, how many of you are techies? That's what I thought. Not many. So you don't get what's going on here a lot of times. Like, you don't even understand how those pictures get up there and everything. Well, they're coming from up there and stuff. But you don't need to know how all that stuff gets put together. But you also don't know how the bulletin gets done and how vision cards get done and all that kind of stuff. But there's a group of brothers and sisters in this church, and they just are so concerned about that. And they want to help us in our carrying out of Vision 2020 through technology. They got together last week, and they're starting to move forward. I have one more point for you. One more point. City Youth. City Youth is our youth program here. Every Saturday night we meet. We have a robust group of young people. I love them. They're great. We're having a conference in a little while. 26th through 29th. If you have not yet had your son or daughter or your relative get signed up, get one of these forms. Be a person of action. Don't just say, oh, that sounds so nice. That's so nice. Right? I can tell you, the amount of effort that's going into this conference is amazing. The leadership team is really pouring themselves out. So, a couple of ways that you could respond. You could respond. Okay, and here's what I'm going to ask you. Respond right after this. Okay, because there'll be people out in the hallway ready to take your name. Saturday lunch. We have an opportunity for you to host a number of young people at your home. Believe me, they're not scary. They're not scary. They don't bite. They really are wonderful young people. Invite them into your home. Let them bless you, and you can bless them. The other thing is, and this is a really important thing to us, we love the opportunity to bless you. And so we consider you as part of our community. In fact, our direct community. And so we want to be able to come over to your house and help you in any way that we can. Now, if you have a teenager and they have a messy room, we are not coming over to clean up their room. It's not going to happen. That's your teenager. But if you have things that could be that could be done, like weeding or mowing the lawn, or you know, like that kind of yard work. Don't say, I need a few windows reinstalled. Not gonna happen. Okay, so kind of like skilled stuff like that, it's not gonna happen. But any kind of cleaning, or if you wanted, you know, your garage rearranged, or you know, with boxes and stuff, or you wanted to get rid of some stuff, you got some people they're young, they've got energy, they got muscles. Well, some of them have muscles. Thursday, now pay attention, Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 is an opportunity. Friday morning, 10 a.m. to noon is another opportunity. And Friday from 3:30 to 5:30 is another opportunity. We love you so much, and we want to bless you. Just because we're having a conference doesn't mean it's all about us. We want to show our young people what it means to be a real, genuine believer in Jesus. Someone who is pouring out on other people, not just people who are receiving. Amen? Amen. So sign up today. Okay. Let's come back to this parable. All of what I just shared is totally in line with the whole thought of this message. Jesus is looking for obedience. He's looking for believing, and he's concerned that these men who are opposing him are not going to end well. And think about this. It's the last week of Jesus' life here on the earth. They don't have much more time. He's going to go to the cross in a couple of days. So I would say this for us. Don't be lulled into thinking that you're okay. Because God's call is definitely on your life. The question is, are you responding? God is giving you and me opportunities to obey Him. Let me put that quote up one last time about responses. Initial responses are not ultimate responses. An initial refusal does not have to stay a refusal. And an initial agreement isn't enough. It must be lived out. Amen? Yes. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for your word to us this morning. We want to be people who not only say things, but that we do what we say. And you are so happy when this happens. I pray for all of us here that we would be people who are doers of your word. We wouldn't just be here getting big heads, understanding more and more. We would actually put into action what it is that you've laid on our hearts. And we especially pray for our responses, the things that you've laid on our heart for us to do in this church, our response to Vision 2020. Pray we wouldn't just let that go. Pray we would mean business with you. We would be serious with you. Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for amazing grace. Thank you for chains being broken this morning. We don't have to stay the way we are. Thank you for grace just taking care of all of our past, and we could have a new start right now. Father, thank you for that amazing grace that is here for us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. We will continue next week. We will see more from the parables in the last week of Jesus' life, challenge you more. If you need, can I get somebody to stand by that back door and this door here with response cards just in case anybody didn't get it? Or maybe you took yours home and you just didn't bring it back yet, but you could do it now, that's fine. So Pierre, could you just grab a bunch of those response cards there? And Bob, you could do it there. You're not prisoners, don't worry. And if any adults need the City Youth Conference form, they're right here. I can give them to you. Thank you so much.